The first phase of the Boston Marathon bombing trial opened dramatically yesterday, with lawyers for the accused bomber, Jahar Tsarnaev, acknowledging in their opening statement that he was responsible. WBUR's David Boeri reports on that and what followed, the gruesome early testimony in the case.
1 year, 10 months, and 17 days later, it felt like yesterday. The defendant had a backpack over his shoulder, the prosecutor William Weinreb told a jury who, like everyone else in the packed courtroom, already knew the story and how it would turn out. And in the backpack was a bomb. It was the kind of bomb favored by terrorists. No one would ever call the veteran prosecutor an orator. His voice is soft, flat, with little expression. And for this retelling of the bloody and terrible saga, it was perfect. He described thousands of pieces of tiny shrapnel, nails, tacks, little BBs packed inside the bombs Jahar Tsarnaev and his older brother Tamerlan carried with them. They were designed to shred flesh and shatter bones. In the jury box, no one moved for the next 50 minutes. The defendant's goal that day was to maim and kill as many people as possible, the prosecutor told them. The fidgeting of the 21-year-old defendant, which had characterized most of the 24 days of jury selection, was missing. He, too, was transfixed, holding his chin in his left hand, or slumped. For the jurors, the account would take on even more force and surprise an hour later, when Tsarnaev's own defense attorney would tell them of that man with the backpack. "It was him," said Judy Clark. "We do not and we will not sidestep or attempt to sidestep Jahar's responsibility for his actions." What the defense would contest, she said, was Tsarnaev's alleged motive. He had come to his role in these incomprehensible and inexcusable acts, she said, not because of radicalization, but because he was vulnerable to the influence of someone he loved and respected very much, his older brother, the real radical extremist. The story, as we all know it, with prosecutor Weinreb filling in some new investigative facts, commanded the stage. Then came the part in which Jahar Tsarnaev, having separated from his brother near the finish line, placed his bomb behind a row of children in front of the Forum restaurant on Boylston Street. People collectively tensed in anticipation of the entrance into the story of 8-year-old, 4-foot, 5-inch, 70-pound Martin Richard, who was watching the marathon with his family. Most of the victims and their families who had been bussed into the security entrance of the courthouse were watching the proceedings from a separate and undisclosed courtroom. But here in courtroom 9 sat Martin's parents, stoic as eyes turned to them. Tsarnaev pretended to be a spectator, Weinreb said. He depicted Tsarnaev as someone leading a secret life as a jihadi, a homegrown terrorist who tested pressure cooker bombs with his brother and practiced shooting at a firing range and bought an illegal semi-automatic handgun. Inexorably, the prosecution narrative then came to the explosions. Fireballs several stories high and a hurricane of shrapnel shredding flesh and severing arteries. The blast tore large chunks of flesh out of Martin's body. His mother, who was blinded, could only half see him. His sister tried to stand up. She fell down again because part of her leg was missing. Martin bled to death on the sidewalk, Weinreb said. The account of this carnage, uncontested by the defense, would be continued by other storytellers, witnesses who walked to the stand with prosthetic legs. A young mother from Texas, Rebecca Gregory, pointed to herself in shocking home videos of the scene and said, "I couldn't see my legs. My bones were lying next to me on the sidewalk." 19-year-old Sydney Corcoran, who had come with her parents to see the marathon, described the shock, the smoke, and screams muffled by loss of hearing. Half her foot was gone, and she was bleeding out. "I knew I was going to die. I felt so cold," she testified. Her father would later find her in a hospital and tell her news about her mother. "She's alive, but she doesn't have any legs anymore." All the while, and with the witnesses close by, the defendant just looked ahead. A critical ruling against the defense by the judge at the start of the day will prevent them from introducing mitigating evidence until what's now likely to be the sentencing phase of the trial. Then the defense will argue that Jahar, too, was a victim of his older brother. Defense attorney Judy Clark reminded the jurors that keeping their minds open until then will not be easy. Yesterday suggests it will be extremely hard. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Boeri, reporting from the federal courthouse.